standing in the presence of God, and the Word was God. And because of this, Jesus also was the Creator, not just the Redeemer. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and without Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend, overcome it. In the 12th verse, skipping all the way down to the 12th verse, to understand what we just read, it says this, 12th verse, "But as many as received Him," Jesus, "to them He gave authority," exousia, or exousion, "to become children of God, to the ones believing into His name." I'm going to say something I've never said before, because reading through the whole book of John, I realize that this is a key verse. Not only is Jesus God, He is the Son of God, God's Son, but He also is the Son of Man. And since He is the Son of Man, He's the one that came to earth. The Father sent Him to come to earth. But here it is saying that as many as received Him, heard His words, and then received Him by faith, chair four, and because they received Him, you might think, because it says they became, He became then the Son of Man so that we would become sons of God. Now, it doesn't say that in this verse. It says it somewhere else. But if He didn't become Son of Man, we would never become sons of God. So He did that by forgiving us our sin, and we became a new creation. But what it's saying in this particular verse, and I'm going to make a contrast through the rest of John, because I've read over and over the book of John. And everything has to be distinguished. So when it says they became, they come into being, that is to become children of God. Now I'm going to say something. A child of God will not go to heaven. So I'm going to make a contrast here. It said that He became a man so that we could become sons of God. So there's a difference between son of God and child. If you're a child, in fact, the word is here, technon, T-E-C-H-N-A-N. Technon is an infant all the way to toddler. It's an infant all the way to toddler. And that could be up to 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. So technon is a little child. And little children, Jesus said once, this little child is an example for you. Unless you become like a little child, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. So you'd have to grow up and be a son, chair six. And the only way you can grow up and become a son is you have to go through chair five. So chair five is the key to chair six. So when you're in chair four, you are a child. You're a small child, a little child, a toddler, an infant. It doesn't matter. All of those words are used for the first stage, and it's the foundation of everything. It comes by faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And so to be in chair four will not take you to heaven unless you continue on to chair five and go through the chastening, the affliction, the punishment that comes from chair 5. Because unless you suffer with him, chair 5, you will not be glorified with him, chair 6. You won't be a son. The sons of God are called the sons of God because they're led of the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Holy Spirit in chair 1, a child. Then you become a young man or a young woman in chair 5 until you're dead. And when you're dead, then you can love others. If you're still loving yourself, and most Christians are, still loving themselves and won't fix the oatmeal for their husband. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that whatever you do, it's not the deed that counts. It's the heart that counts. In your heart, she said to him, I will do what God tells me to do. I will do that. But this is something I think it would be good for you to do it. So that's not necessarily not chair 5. In chair 5 is you learn that the only key to life is me dying to myself so that I can live for others. And that's the end of the law. The end of the law is not worshiping God with all your heart and soul and strength. The end of the law, you can do that in chair 4. But the end of the law is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Even as you love yourself, want to be loved, that's the way you should love your neighbor. Now, the church here is, you can locate yourself in chair 1, or you can locate yourself in chair hypocrite 2, or you can locate yourself in chair 3, that is, comfort yourself because God has died for you, and that's the only way you can get there. And that's happiness right there, is that God died for you. Now it's your turn to take up your cross every day. So taking up your cross every day is you can't get rid of fear one day. So when you're realizing fear prompted me to do that, I need to conquer that today. But you conquer it today, but the next day you have to conquer it again. And the next day you have to conquer lust. And the next day you have to conquer fear and the anger. And they just keep going until Jesus comes back a second time. So the chair you want to avoid is, you think, a chair of pain. But actually you want pain. Children that are not technon, chair 4, that are growing, they need the pain, the growing pains of being disciplined. And today, young people are not disciplined. Amen. Young people are raised today without law. And if you don't have the law, if you don't realize the law is not just for the Jewish people, which they could never do, the thing they sought, they did not achieve. Because being perfect, chair 6, only comes about to be a son of God. You have to be not loving yourself and giving all your love to your neighbor because God loves you in chair 4, and then in chair 5, and then in chair 6. All three of those are the love of God. That's called the atonement. The atonement is always threefold. The atonement is always He forgave you, then He's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then He's also going to perfect you in love, and faith and hope are gone. And loving, that makes you chair 7, which means you're ready to be married to Jesus because you're a son of God and you will live not only in this world, you will love forever and ever with world without end for all the worlds yet to come. So there's much to this thing of being a son rather than just saying I was born again. To be merely born again is to fall back into either 1 or 2 chairs. You will fall back because you don't realize that what Jesus did was to forgive sins. That's just chair 4. But your sin nature is in chair 5. So the one that did the sin is you. And even though you've been forgiven for the sins, you still can't go to heaven until you grow up and be disciplined and trained. And so today, I think the whole culture is into pleasure rather than into trying to avoid pain. First of all, you will not avoid pain. And second of all, you will never get pleasure. If you seek pleasure, you will be unhappy and miserable. If you say the only purpose of life is to be a hedonist, that is someone that avoids pain and tries to get as much pleasure as they can get, you'll fail on both counts. And everybody in the world is in that category. Everybody in the world. Nice people, nasty people, worshiping people, people that don't worship, it doesn't matter. You will be in that category as far as God is concerned. So don't worry about me convincing you. I'm just telling you what God has in His Word. So you have to be a son of God, chair 6, in order to be 7 and in order to live forever and ever, led by the Spirit. So those are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. And that means you're not just loving God with all your heart and soul and strength in chair 4. You're also dying so that you can love your neighbor in chair 6 by going through chair 5 and be fully taught. When a disciple is fully taught, when you're disciplined, when you're afflicted, when you're rebuked, when God rebukes you, He's not rebuking you to change. He's rebuking you because you're resistant to the change. So when you get into a trouble or a problem or a difficulty, you praise God. You give thanks to God. Amen. And you begin to praise Him because He dwells in the presence of God, who now He wants those praises, and that's where He dwells. That now you are becoming a temple that's clean, just like Jesus cleansed the temple when He came into Jerusalem, because the Jewish people were not keeping the law with all their heart, soul, and strength. So chair 4, 5, 6. When you do it the way Jesus did it, and you follow Him because He first of all came in, He'd had no sin in Him, but He then died on your behalf in chair 4 so that you could then die in chair 5 so that you could resurrect in chair 6. So you want to first of all have faith in Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then you want to then die to yourself, and Jesus does all of that as well. And then Jesus also wants you to be perfected in love. Now, since you can't do any of those things, those are all gifts. Those are all gifts of God. So you don't have to do them. When He says to you, I'm going to work on pride today, that doesn't mean I want your help. That just simply means I want your confession. I was proud.
Yes.
That's all He's ever wanted. Just say it. I was proud. I was angry. And most Christians lie. Most Christians say, well, I wasn't, but I didn't feel bad. You know, and they're just trying to make up words that excuse themselves. They want to justify themselves rather than saying, I hated you.
Yeah.
I wanted to kill you. Mm-hmm. That when you're afflicted, you are now prepared to forgive others, chair 4, like He forgave you. And then when you're afflicted, you can minister to others because they're afflicted, and that's your ministry to them, is they're also afflicted. But if you haven't gone through the affliction and you haven't worked it out where you're praising God for the affliction. So the good news, the gospel of suffering, is the gospel at work in love. So when Jesus leads you through these chairs, now I'm going to skip all of this and just say, this is the perfect person, and only Jesus can do 4, 5, 6, and then bring you to 7, a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So I want to turn to the another chapter here. This chapter is 8:29. So John 8, if always bring your Bible, always. So 19th verse, 8:29, it says this, and the one who sent me is with me, Jesus is saying. And the one who sent me, Father in heaven, is with me. The Father did not leave me alone, for I always do the things pleasing to Him, which is to forgive you and to save you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then perfect you in love. I always do the things pleasing to Him. As He spoke these things, many Jewish people who are listening to Him believed on Jesus. Chair 4. So the Jewish people are called children of God, not sons. Now there are sons, but they're the ones that come by faith, like his firstborn son. And that was not Esau, but Jacob, who then later became Israel. Because God was talking to him, and we are like Esau today in the church, rather than like Jacob in the church. Because they were called children of God, and Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. That is, he is the king of Israel because he came to be king, and he was born that way. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But that's not the case here, because all we have is that he died for us. And most Christians feel that's a place to stop, because they don't want to go through the pain, the trouble, the discipline of growing up. But unless you discipline your children and spank them, was I clear?
Yes.
Unless you spank them, they will never grow up into be a man or woman of God. Boys and girls alike. And so sometimes David would walk through the den and just brush his hand over Margaret's head. And since he's older than she, we always taught Margaret, when David or anybody does something wrong to you, to go to your mother or father and we'll take care of it. But do not fight on your own, because you have to learn to trust in God. And you have to learn by telling us what happened, and we'll spank David if he did that. But one day he walked through and he just brushed his hand right over her head. But she said, "He slapped me, and that's why you kicked him." You see, I'm going to have to spank you because you kicked him. David was laughing by himself. Good. I thought he was going to spank me. But I didn't say anything, so I spanked her. "I don't think that's right. That's not right." But you see, discipline is what you need in this world.
Yes.
And that's why all the troubles in this world, you have troubles. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So there's a difference between a son or a daughter who grows up and then a child. Merely a child, a technon. So in chair 4, everyone is confident today in the church. I was born again on April 16th or whatever. And they come up with a time that they believed on Jesus. Believing will not get you to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ is active in love. Not just faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So little children believe their parents. They understand what they said, but they might not want to do it because they haven't been disciplined. And when you discipline them, you spank them. You only do it 3 times, one for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You only do that. You don't do it too much, because if you do a little bit, they'll be angry. But if you do all 3, by the time they get to the 3rd spanking, they're not angry, they're just wanting to stop. And my dad raised me that way. He was Adolf Hitler. And he raised me, and I told my sister, I hate him. I don't want a 3rd father. And but whenever I would do something wrong, like not doing my chores and so on and so forth, then he'd take me downstairs and spank me. And he said, "And if you cringe ever so much, I'll spank you again." So that I had fear of him. Best thing that ever happened to me. Because even though I hated him, I also realized, don't do anything. You better obey him. And he said to me one day as I was growing up, he said to me, "The day you can take me is the day you can do what you want to do." But he was 250 pounds or whatever he was. And I never did take him. Yes. Because I learned, I fear that guy when he says something, that's it. And he no, If he said 20 sentences to me, I would be surprised. Yeah. All he said was, you know, go downstairs. And I realized, wow, this guy is just no seriousness. This is Adolf Hitler. I mean, this guy is out to get you. And so even though I hated, I had to get that hatred driven out of me until it became fear, that I feared him. You know, how many know that the Bible says fearing the Lord, but that won't get you to heaven? You also have to fear and love God, because the reason, and that's why David, King David said, I love thy law, because the law disciplines you even after you're born again. Even after you're born again, you still don't have sin. The sin nature is you, and you are the problem, not something you do. It's not something you forgave your sins. So the sins is not the problem. It's the sin nature, that you have a nature that is dark. It's full of darkness. So he's the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world. And that light that comes into every world makes you then a child. Now you're one of the children of God, and you have become a child of God. But that's still not a grown up. It's not one with full stature. So you have to go through many disciplines in the world. Today, the United States doesn't want discipline. To be disciplined, you'd have to be one who feared God in order to love your neighbor. So if we just fear God, it's not enough to take me to heaven. I also have to get rid of that. Well, I can't, but he can. So he not only is for me, chair four, but he's also working in me, chair five, so that he can work through me, chair six. So he does it all. So you don't have to do anything for God. God wants to do everything for you, but this is love. Love not only is for you, it's also working in you, and it's also working through you, so that men, when they see your good works, chair six, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those nine fruits of the Spirit are something you cannot learn by your nature until the sin nature in you has been destroyed. So your death is key to your resurrected life. So to be a son of God is to be someone that loves, because your self-love has been driven out of you. Your selfishness has been driven out of you. And that's why I love Peggy with all my heart and my soul and my strength. But it's a little bit weak on the strength side. In other words, there are times when you want to react in the flesh. And if you don't go through the discipline of God, and that's why I have to spend every day with God for 5 hours between 5 o'clock in the morning or whenever I wake up, until I spend that much time seeing what God is working on and wanting then, not so I can preach, not so that I can teach, it's just simply because I need it to kill that sin nature. And you have to do it every day until Jesus comes back again. I die daily. So Paul said, I die daily. But he also said in another place, I am not yet perfect. I have not yet been made perfect. And you won't be until Jesus comes back again. Even Paul. You cannot say. All you can say is God has taught me, and I want to then say that the Jewish people who believed on Jesus, they weren't ready to go to heaven. So he cursed their house, meaning your house is desolate. Because even though you know the word, you know the Bible, you know the Ten Commandments, you have not fulfilled them. You not only do not love God with all your heart and soul, you don't love your neighbor as yourself. So you've failed the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are necessary. And every week I preach to you the law and the gospel. Every day I preach to you the law. The law makes you guilty. The whole purpose of the law is to make you guilty. You cannot make it to six unless you go through five. You have to start with four. Four is the foundation, five is the building, and six is what you do when you've been built. Now you can love your neighbor as yourself. You finish the end of the law. So God, don't worry about understanding what I'm saying. Just listen to it by the tape, listen over and over again. until you realize God wants you to grow up with full stature of Christ until there's nothing left in you. So I do not wake up every morning thinking, how can I sin today? I don't wake up in the morning hostile toward anybody, the homosexual agenda, Al-Qaeda. I don't wake up hating anybody. Why? Because God hath said to me, that's a new creation. Even though I haven't arrived at the new creation, like Paul said, I'm not yet perfect. We'll only be perfect when Jesus comes back a second time. You can be perfected, but you're not yet perfect. So he's working on you now to make sure that there's no love of sin. What's wrong with the lukewarm church today is the lukewarm church wants to tolerate sin. So they tolerate that their niece is a homosexual or a transvestite or whatever else. You cannot be a Christian and continue that way. So Jesus said to them, when you start, you have to continue in my word, then you'll be set free. So if you're my disciple, chair 5, I want to disciple you and remove from you any love of sinning. So the love of sinning is not me being forgiven in chair 4. The love of sinning is chair 5. I still want to sin even though I don't do it because I go to church, so I don't do it. But that doesn't make me a Christian. I'm only a Christian if I do 4 and 5 and 6 exactly like Jesus. When a disciple, chair 5, is fully taught, he will be like the master, spirit, soul, body. So now your body has to be one that actually obeys God and you want to. That will not happen fully until Jesus comes back again. So right now you're being disciplined to read the Bible every day. And most people don't. Most people just feel, I know enough. And I learned it in Sunday school. You have to read this every day because God wants to instruct you every day as to how to live a holy life with no sin. But there's always going to be sin, right? But don't be discouraged by that. Laugh when that happens because Jesus is working on you now and he made a promise, I who began a good work in you, I will surely complete it. So you don't have to worry about Jesus keeping his promise because Jesus is God and he's the Son of God. So he came as a son, and you read this word son all the time, and it's never the word children. The children of God in the Old Testament are children, but they're not yet adult. They never grew up, and so therefore they hate all kinds of people because they hate their neighbors because their neighbors want to see them go into the sea. Do not blame them for doing that. You're the reason that they're not growing. The church is the reason. Did you know that if you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself by faith, not by action, by faith, just do that. So pray for Israel. Why? Because your prayers make Israel. And if you start praying for somebody, you begin to love them. If you start praying for somebody who you think is an enemy or you think is troubling you or obnoxious or bothers you or whatever, if you begin to pray for them, you begin to love them. And so you see it working in you, and you're everything today is instant pudding and whatever. It isn't like that. You have to wait on God. You have to be patient. So he'll say to the people in the book of Revelation, be patient. I'm not yet through with you. And I'm not dealing with your sins. I'm already showing you what I'm dealing with. I want you to be dead to yourself so you can be alive to God for your neighbor. But don't worry about that. I'll finish that. I will do that for you. I'll do that in you. I'll do that through you. I'll take care of that. And by the time he comes back again, you'll be ready. Because it'll, in just essentially a nanosecond, you'll have a new body and a new soul. You don't today. You only have your soul growing. And you'll never come to the point, that keeps you humble every day. You'll never come to the point, say, I was really good for the last 3 days. You'll never come to that point. It's impossible because God has already spoken on that. Until he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with vengeance for the wicked. but he also will deliver the righteous. But you'll be perfect all the way. You'll be in heaven. And when you're in heaven, that's because you're a son of God. So everyone, he comes back, if you're a son, you're taken. If you're not, you're not. Now, I know that bothers some people because you want to be logical and have all answers. But I'm sorry, that's what the Word of God says. So those that are ready are ready. The bride hath made herself ready, but you didn't make yourself ready. God made you ready. As a matter of fact, he sent you the garment you're to wear. And if you wore any other kind of garment, maybe with, all kinds of glistening jewelry on it and look glorious, he won't accept that. That person will end up in the lake of fire. And so he'll bind him hand and foot and cast him into utter darkness. And so you'll live in darkness forever and ever. So that's an everlasting flame, fire. Does that scare people? No, it doesn't. I'm just telling you what he said. You need to be paying attention to, you better have faith in Jesus and keep that faith going and keep it going until you're mature, ready for Jesus. So today you do it by faith, but tomorrow you'll actually see him as he is. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and anyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That's a mature person, and eschatologically, going from the end back to the beginning, that's what you're going to grow up to be. I always said to David and to the three girls, I have one command that I have. I want you to be a godly woman. I want you to be a godly man. All the other commands are nothing. I want you to be a godly woman and a godly man. Well, all four of our children are like that, and all the 11 grandchildren are also like that. But they have to grow. The 7-year-old, who's now, he says he's up to here, but he's aiming up because he's only to here. But he's saying, I'm already here. And so Peggy has pictures of all this. But it's powerful. Because he knows, because one time he said this, "You stop your whining," one of the sisters said. "Yeah, stop your whining." "I'm trying not to whine, but I just want to whine." So he was trying his best not to whine. But how many know, when you just want to whine, you're going to whine. So he did. But now he's precious. I mean, if you just see his picture, he's just awesome. And so all the way from 27, our oldest grandchild, all the way down to 7, we got all these 11 kids. And now we have one that's 6 months, David, right? Is it almost 6 months or 6 months? Well, we're getting close anyway. And so it's powerful because all of these children are precious in God's sight. But we can love them with all our heart, soul, and strength by faith. You don't have to think about, what you feel, what you want, what you think. That's silly. Just do what God says to them. Discipline them. Discipline them. And when they're little, you can tell them the gospel, but it doesn't mean anything until they're older. But it'll mean something. Children learn the concept long before they learn the behavior. And spanking them will not make them do it. It just makes them mad or it makes them fear. But spanking them won't do it. But you do that because God said to do it. You don't do it because you want to do it. I often would tell my kids, I don't want to spank you. I want to bless you. But they understood it by the time they were 11 or 12 years old, that Dad is doing this for my good. And then when they're 20, 21, somewhere in there, they begin to say, "Thank you for raising us the way you did. I hated you at the time, but now thank you. Because all my friends are in trouble. And, I thank you for the discipline you gave us." And that's powerful. And all four of them did that. And that's like amazing. But you just did what God said. And it works out. What is the goal then? To be a son of God. That's the goal. When you're an adult, you are now like God. You're like God. You have the image of God, but he also have the likeness of God. So he created you in his image and in his likeness. In other words, you look like God, but you also act like God. And so that's what he said, Betzalemnu Kadamutnu, in the Hebrew language. It means, let us create man in our own image and according to our likeness, so that they'll be just like us, serving me, just like Jesus the Son served God. So you will serve God. So begin today. So today is the day that you don't matter, don't count. You need to die to yourself so that you just love the neighbor, as he said. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to want it. You don't have to feel it. Well, I wanted to say it, but I didn't feel it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. Just simply do it. And you know what? That discipline will kill you every time. Faith kills every believer. When you have faith in God, you're not relying on yourself. You're not self-reliant. The whole thing, it's taught today. All the Democrats are like this. All the Republicans are like this. They just want for themselves. They're wanting pleasure, and they want to avoid the pain. But both of them are sinful. And the whole church today is Laodicean. It's totally lukewarm. What God wants is for you to be 100% dependent on him for all your life, your joy, your peace. You don't have any rights. You don't have anything except what God gave you, faith. And faith cometh by hearing. Amen. So, how many are ready to walk the walk, chair six, because you can only begin that. You can't fix it until you're finished. And that would mean chair five has to be finished for you to be in chair six. And that would mean that's how you got into chair seven, and that's mean you'd be the wife of Jesus. Because the prize you're after running the race, the prize you're after, he already won for you, and it's just a gift to you. So you don't have to run the race. When he says run the race, he doesn't mean you run the race. It means the new you, that you, that Christ in you, you, that you. That's the new one. So when Jesus won the race and he conquered the devil, now you're an overcomer because you conquered yourself. You have to conquer yourself. How do you do that? You don't. Jesus does it. The more you read Jesus, the more you realize the only purpose of my life is to reveal Jesus. The only purpose in my life is to reveal the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The only purpose that I was given is to always serve him. And you will never have life in yourself. You only have it in relationship to Jesus. You'll never have life in yourself. You'll never have life in yourself. I know you think, well, someday I'll be like Jesus. Yes, you will be, but only in relationship. If you broke the branch off, you wouldn't bear fruit. The minute you break the branch off, you're not going to bear fruit. So what God wants you to realize is that God has always wanted to marry the Jewish people, which he will, and Jesus Christ will be his wife, which we will be. That's what God wants. The Jewish people and the Christian people, we're the ones that are new creation. And anyone else can't make it. No, everyone else will perish. I want you to understand that. So pray for, forgive a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a homosexual or, you know, anyone that has any evil in them. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. Amen. Never speak evil against them. Always do good for them, even though they don't deserve it, because you never deserved it. So you also love your neighbor. You have to forgive sinners. You have to start with chair four with sinners. Yes, they sinned. Forgive them. Forgive them. Then bless them. Pray for them. Love them. Never curse them. There's no cursing in the New Testament. I want you to understand that. There's not. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's no cursing. Jesus broke that curse forever and ever. Now you are a Christian, and I want you to think of yourself as, I'm a Christian. I'm not in charge of my life. He is. And all he's doing is for my benefit. All he's doing is for my profit. All he's doing is for my happiness and safety and everything good I owe all to Jesus. Then you will be thankful for chair four. You'll praise him for chair five. While you're in the trouble, while you're in the affliction, while you're in the problem, that's when the praise comes off. It doesn't mean anything in chair four because you didn't do anything for it. So in chair four, you just thank him. But then in chair five, you know that he wants me to be a son. Now, I'll end with this. The Roman people, even though Rome is the last kingdom on earth, Rome adopted something. When you, let's say Julius Caesar, you've heard of Julius Caesar as a king, emperor. But he wasn't an emperor. He never sought to be an emperor. But he had two sons and they were ne'er-do-wells. They were not good sons. And so he didn't adopt them when he was about to die. And he knew the day before he changed his will, he was killed in 44 BC. He was killed. But he had two sons that were ne'er-do-wells, and he didn't adopt them, but he adopted his nephew, who was only 18 years old, that his sister bore. And so he noticed that this young man would be Caesar Augustus. He knew that. And so he got him all the money, because the firstborn son, which he wasn't, yes, he was a son, not just a child. He was a son, even though he wasn't a son, but he adopted him as his son. And because he adopted them, that was a Roman idea. That was not Jewish idea, primogeniture and so on. It was not that. But if you'll read the scriptures closely, you'll see the Romans caught up with God in doing that. The one you adopt is the one that's going to inherit. So they didn't have a problem that all the children need to inherit. And we ended that primogeniture when America became a nation. We ended that. It shouldn't be that all, let the one who has the money or the house or whatever you have that to inherit, let that inheritance come only to the son. It doesn't come to the one who's born again and a child. It doesn't come to the one that's younger. Now, but the parent has the idea as the testator, I can choose. But now you can't. In America, everyone should be equal and so on and so forth. And egalitarianism, that's a silly idea. But in the Jewish understanding, God, you don't follow the culture. You follow God's idea. When God adopts you as a Jesus, you're now adopted. The minute he then takes you into his family, you're just tier four, that will not take you to heaven. You'll have no inheritance. You'll be a son, and you could even live. You could even live forever and ever, but you will not be in heaven. You'll not be in the mid-heavens. But if you keep going on here, you not only want to then become not only born again, but you want to be filled with the Spirit every day, and you want to be led of the Spirit, so you're a son, and you get all the inheritance, and they get the double portion. If you read Jacob and Esau, you'll see how that worked out. You remember he gave up? First of all, he gave up the birthright that was, he was the firstborn son. And so Esau had that. But he was famished one day and he despised his birthright. It's in the scripture. He despised it. So he said, I don't care about my eternal life and all that kind of stuff. Just give me some soup. Give me some lentil, you know, some nourishment here. I'm famished. And how many know that you would sell your soul for a bowl of soup? In other words, you know, you're religious in church, but you know, when you go home, you start yelling and you do all kinds of things. Yeah. Well, so what? You have a God that's adopting you, and he will adopt you. And that's why he's doing this 4, 5, and 6 till you're perfect. He doesn't want anyone to go to heaven who isn't perfect. You can't have one sin in heaven. Any spot, any wrinkle, any blemish, any stain, anything that's sinful, you can't go. And only those that are ready. So are you ready today then to be adopted by the Lord? And when you're adopted at his the second coming, when he comes back, then you're adopted right then. That's your adoption. I know you're already adopted by faith, but you need to be adopted in fact. Let Jesus finish it. So be patient. God is working it out. Now, anyone here hearing these things, you don't have to say, I'm going to try to believe. You can't try to believe. You either do or you don't.
That's right.
You hear the words and you either believe that God is God and you don't. Well, I wish I had something else to make. No, you don't need anything else. Just the word, bare word of God. You don't need anything else, a rhema or anything to make you believe. You just simply obey without believing. Just do what he says, he multiplies it. So your wife is happy with you because you're less and less a tyrant. Right?
I guess.
You guess? No, don't guess.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, but she's just saying, I see it, you know. Oh, yeah. She says, I see it, that I have a husband that is now a true husband. He's becoming a son of God, not just simply a servant. The servant doesn't abide in the house forever, only the son. The son abides in the house forever. So Jesus is the Son of God who became Son of Man so that you could become sons of God. Now everyone here can be a son of God. What do you do? Nothing.
Yay.
Nothing doesn't mean nothing. Nothing means whatever you do, do it by faith. That's the salt. You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. That makes the earth, when Jesus comes back, he will lift up the kingdoms of this world, get rid of all the sin, sending them into the lake of fire, and then everything will be left all pure. And that's how you become a son of God. And when men see your good works, they won't glorify you. They'll glorify the